This morning, I want us to talk about our need for the Word, God's Word, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Succinctly, it's a both and, it's not an either or. We need God's Word, we need God's Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to talk about how these two work together in a very practical way. But I want us to begin reading in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, the latter and the former rain to the earth." Now, this rain here isn't referring to natural physical rain, but spiritual rain. The rain of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we have over this summer and continuing in a special series of gatherings, Holy Spirit nights on Sunday nights. The Holy Spirit doesn't seek to be mysterious, but he is the most mysterious of the Godhead. I mean, we read in the Word about God the Father, and we read about Jesus the Son who came and walked among us. But Jesus tells us this in John chapter 16 about the Holy Spirit. It says, "However, when he," not it, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling, it's not a woohoo, he's a person. "When he," the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." He will tell you things to come. He's not going to tell you everything, but he'll tell you what you need to know about tomorrow, and then give you direction on how to prep for it today. The scripture uses symbols all throughout to reveal the Holy Spirit in ways that help us gain an understanding of what he's like and how he comes to penetrate our lives so that the reality of the invisible, once again, you do understand, as real as you think this world, this natural materialistic world is, it was created out of the invisible world. It came into existence from the realm where God is. You do understand that. All this is going to pass away. In fact, scripture is quite clear. It's all going to get burned up. It all went away in a flood the first time, but this next time, fire. Going to be gone. Everything. So, when the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit as rain, the purpose of the scripture revealing the Holy Spirit as like rain and understanding what rain does and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, the purpose isn't to say, "Oh, yeah, oh, the Holy Spirit, he's like rain. I wonder if it's going to rain today." You know? No, listen to me. The purpose of the Holy Spirit being revealed as rain is that we get wet. Yeah. Time to play in the rain. To let his life fill ours so that then we overflow it to people around us. The Holy Spirit comes as rain to bring you and me restoration where there's been loss. And refreshing. He comes to bring you refreshing where there's been dryness and barrenness. This is right out of Joel chapter 2, and we're going to read in a minute. Peter is going to tell us that what Joel was talking about, this restoration and this refreshing that Joel was speaking of, he said on the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, he says, what he was talking about, this is happening now. This is Joel said. This is that. So listen to me. Needing to be refreshed doesn't mean that I've backslid or that or sinned, any of those things. How many of you know, especially after the last couple of weeks we've had, when there's been no rain and there's extreme heat, the grass suffers. You know? It needs to be, it dries up. It needs the refreshing of moisture, of rain. So when the Holy Spirit comes as rain, he brings that refreshing and restoration. The question, though, is how do we pursue this according to what the Word says? A lot of people want the things that Scripture talks about that God will bring to their life, but they don't want to go about it God's way. And therefore, there's a total lack of faith, because faith is based on the Word. And they always miss out, and they just think it's pie in the sky and the sweet by and by when we die. No. Here is probably the most important one. Simple, but without this, it all falls apart. The Holy Spirit comes as rain. I want you to look with me very carefully at Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask, everybody say ask. Yes. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Mike, can you go back to the first of this verse, ask the Lord for rain? Okay, now notice this carefully. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of it. Listen, just because it's the time, it's the season for it to rain, we must not assume that it's going to rain. He says, ask. In the time that it's supposed to rain, you need to ask for rain. Okay, some of you are looking at me like, what? Okay, James says, you have not because you ask not. And the Lord is, I can't make it any plainer than the way he puts it right here. You ask for rain in the time, the season of the latter rain. If you want this rain, you need to ask for it. God, Holy Spirit, come and rain on me. I need to get wet. To grow something worth harvesting isn't only about planting seed. It also requires rain. You know, through the years, we here at Family of Faith, we are very intentional in our use with God's Word. We plant seeds. We do that in gatherings like this, with the kids downstairs, Wednesday night with youth, and Bible studies throughout the week, and other endeavors that we are involved with and support. We're about planting seed, planting the seed. And now we need rain, and I believe that this is why the Holy Spirit, the Lord has directed us in this season to seek the Lord and to ask for rain, to ask for the Holy Spirit to drench the seeds in our lives and the seeds that we've sown. There needs to be a harvest for that. Of course, the best seed to pursue, as Jesus said in talking about, you know, a sower went forth and sowed seed. And he explaining this in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. There are other kinds of seed from other places that you can choose to plant in your life, that you can plant into situations in your life, but only God's Word, the seed of God's Word, has the power to bring things to a righteous conclusion, that make it right, that make it well with your soul, that bring blessing to you and people around you. The seed is the Word of God. Listen, if the right seed isn't intentionally planted in your garden or in your fields, when the rain comes, if you've not intentionally planted seed, guess what you get? You get weeds. You get trees that you don't want. You get bushes. You get all kinds of things growing, some kind of overgrow, poison ivy, whatever. You get a mess, right? And of course, you know, being a preacher's kid, a pastor's kid, and so growing up in church, you know, from the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, the night, God, pastor, you're old. Yeah, I know. But that means I've seen a little bit, experienced a little bit. I've learned some what to do's and what not to do, because I've seen it firsthand. But what happens when you don't intentionally plant the seed of God's word, and when people don't have much of God's word, the seed of God's word in their life? Oh, yeah, they're born again by the seed of God's word, but they don't continue in the word. And then they hear about the Holy Spirit and they want to be filled with the Spirit. Woohoo! You know, they seek the reign of the Holy Spirit. Listen, they get a little crazy sometimes in the things that they believe, say, and do, because they need more word. They have all the wrong things growing up in them and around them. It's unfortunate. You don't have to worry about that. Well, there are lots of good churches. We're not the only one, but yeah. So let's move on. So how do we confidently move forward? Well, let me just tell you quickly, get into God's word, because God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit will not lead you, direct your life, tell you to do things that contradict the written word of God. Okay? I'm sorry. You say, well, I know it's not in the Bible, but God told me. Okay, bye-bye. Have fun. Good luck with that. You know, there are churches that preach God's word, but nobody gets saved. Nobody gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody gets healed. It's good to plant seed. Again, we need the word and the Spirit. It's not either or. We do need to plant seed. But without rain, the harvest is reduced. Ask any farmer who plants seed. If it doesn't rain, you know, they're going to do, you know, spring, they go plant. And if there's no rain all summer, you get a reduced harvest or you get nothing. It takes rain to go with the seed. Otherwise, the harvest is reduced or it's non-existent. We need to plant the seed of God's word, but we also need to ask for the rain that comes from the Holy Spirit too. And the Lord will answer. He'll grant that request. Read with me these verses. We're going to go through them somewhat quickly here. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to notice in all these how good God is. Whew. The Lord will open to you, yes, even you, His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, notice this, and to bless all the works of your hand. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Hold on before we go on. He wants to bless all the works of your hands. When you go to work, most of us use our hands to do something, whatever it is we do at work, right? And He wants to bless all you. Now, I'm going to get a little honorary right here. So if you haven't been here very much, well, you're just going to have to use it. See, I was a youth pastor for way too long. And that stuff, it just doesn't leave you. So now, I'm gonna do something that's designed to shock. And some of you, you're going to be tempted just to get up and walk out. Well, I'm not going to listen to a pastor who believes that. I am a guy who believes in prosperity. You preach, you believe that prosperity gospel stuff. I believe the prosperity good news. Now listen to me carefully. Hold on. Think with me. There are people out there who abuse and misrepresent and misteach that topic from Scripture. There are people who are very wrong in the way they go, you give me a $10 and God's going to bless you with a $1,000. We don't do that here. That's you know, I can't even totally rule that out. Because if God is speaking in that moment, and that's what He says, okay, I mean, it's not contrary to Scripture, okay? But yes, there's a lot of abuse that takes place. But you know what? I've got news for you. There are a lot of teachings, topics from Scripture that are abused. The Holy Spirit is a topic that people abuse. I mean, the Holy Spirit, no, there's no gifts today. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't do anything today. Oh, he may convict people, draw them to Jesus, tell you when you've been bad, you know, that kind of thing, convict you of sin, that kind of, but all the rest of it, no. And they misuse, they misrepresent the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There are people who teach wrongly about the grace of God. They're either way over, you can do anything you want, doesn't matter, you know, you're all going to heaven. And there's people on the other side that grace is such a narrow thing, that's just how you get saved, but after that, it's all up to you. We could go on and on. There's so many topics in Scripture that people abuse and misuse. But hear me carefully. The answer, the solution to abuse is not disuse. It is proper use. And this is why you got to come back to the Word. What we're reading here, he says, I will bless all the works of your hands. He's also talking about money. You know how I know? Put up the end of the verse. He says, not only will I bless all the works of your hands, you shall lend to many nations, but you're not going to need to borrow. Folks, I just read it. Prosperity is a Bible word. And just because people abuse it, don't run away from things that people distort. Come to the Lord, come to His Word, and find out the right use of it. Okay? Enough said? Okay. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, there we are. Let's move on to Isaiah chapter 30. Whenever you sow your seed, the implication is that you do sow seed. A lot of people want to harvest. God, where is my harvest? And God's saying, plant something. Put some seed in the ground. He says, whenever you sow your seed, plant your seed, the Lord will send rain. Oh, the Lord wants to partner with you in this increase. He will send rain to make them grow. Oh, so we do need rain to make the seed grow. Are you seeing that too? Or is it just me? Whenever you sow your seed, the Lord will send rain to make them grow. You need your seed to grow, okay? And he will give you a paltry harvest. Rich harvest. It will be fat and plentiful. Be quick to believe what the Word says. Your life will be so much better. I'm telling you. Isaiah 55. The Lord speaking through the prophet says, for just as the rain and the snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat. This is what Paul was quoting in 2 Corinthians 9 that we read earlier. He says, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish, it will produce what I please and will prosper in what I sent it to do. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit comes to saturate or to fill our lives. Acts chapter 2:4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to think, you know, why do I need that? Because you're tired. You're weary. I want you to notice what Isaiah 28 says, speaking about this that would take place. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. This Old Testament prophecy, it applies to the church age. So back to Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, verse 16. Peter, these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. They come out and people do like they do today. Some mock, some question, some wonder what's going on. And Peter gets up and says, this, what you're seeing, this speaking in another language that we've not learned, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's going to quote from Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out like rain, like water. I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And I love the way that this is emphasized. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Of course, I'd love to be ornery with my certain conservative evangelical friends who want to say, well, prophecy is not, you know, thus saith the Lord kind of a thing. Prophecy is just preaching. Oh, so women get to preach. Did you read that? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, listen, they can speak the word of the Lord, men and women can, and men and women can also preach. Your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they all, shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever, male, female, bond free, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will pour out his spirit on us. He will pour out his spirit on you and on me. Peter concludes this aspect of his talking to this group of thousands of people. Verse 32, he says, this Jesus God has raised up from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, speaking of Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out, again, like rain, like water, this which you now see and hear. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need the rain of the Holy Spirit. We need to get wet inside and out. Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, the Lord speaks and says, I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Are you thirsty? Do you desire something more for God to do in your life? Oh, Pastor, I've tried that and got burned. It never happened. Okay, a little hint. Instead of blaming God, say, God, what do I need to do differently? Because I know, you and me in our sinful flesh and in our finite thinking, limited thinking, we can't be the problem. It's got to be the perfect, all-knowing, omniscient, holy God. He's got the problem. Because it can't be me. Yeah, that's laughable. So instead of, God, why didn't you? God, help me to understand. Help me. I need you. I need what you bring to life. I don't want to miss out anymore. He says, I will pour water on him who's thirsty, people who want it, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your children and my blessing on your family. God's not against your family. Quit letting the devil tell you that this is God's will. That your family should be, you know, whatever issues are going on, and it's just the way it's supposed to be, and you just have to endure. God's teaching you patience, you know. When he speaks of the former or the early rain and the latter rain, The latter rain brought about the quickening, the hastening of the harvest and fruitful crops. The Lord is saying that he will send rain to fields, to people, to their lives who need a greater harvest. Let me ask you, do you need a greater harvest in your life? Okay, us five, all right. Hey, I'm going with God. Those who want to come along, let's go. Pastor, you're talking a lot of Old Testament there. You got anything more in the New Testament? Yep. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, you have to understand the coming of the Lord. We celebrate one of those comings of the Lord at Christmas. Jesus came. Right? There are people groups that celebrate the coming of the Lord that delivered them out of Egypt. The Passover. There are lots of comings of the Lord. I want you to understand that eschatology, future things. There is a coming of the Lord, a day when the Lord will come. He's going to come. He's going to appear in the sky. The dead in Christ are going to raise, and we who are alive are going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. But there is the second coming of the Lord, when the Lord, he came the first time, landed on earth, showed up on earth, walked on earth. He's coming back, and he will come back to this planet. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Okay? There's that coming. But I want you to know, don't limit the coming of the Lord, because there's times the Lord, he'll come to you. He comes to me. You're sinking. Lord, help. And he comes to you and lifts you. The coming of the Lord, yes, it has, just don't limit it to one thing. Unless the context of Scripture is saying, oh, I'm only talking about this coming, fine. But otherwise, be open to the Lord coming to you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord to do something. He says it's this coming is dual. Now, and of course, the rapture that we're looking for too. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it, the seed that's been planted, receives the early and the latter rain. You need God to rain on this seed so that there will come fruit. And where do you need this fruit? Oh, Pastor, you know, all those blessings, all the things you're talking about. Yes, I believe God wants to prosper us spiritually, but not naturally. Let me read it. Just say that again. Okay, did I get that right? Yeah. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit that's stored up for us in heaven. Is that what it says? The precious fruit of the earth. I thank God for what's being stored up in heaven, but you know what? I also need help here and now. And the Lord doesn't say, suck it up and suffer until you get to heaven. No, I don't think so. What we read in looking at all these verses that we've read, a harvest comes after the rain. Seeds planted, rain comes, seeds germinate, they sprout, they grow, they produce fruit. Listen, the rain that comes from the Holy Spirit of God will bring about supernatural, miraculous blessings in your life as a testimony to the Lord. Although I do have time, I'm not going to take it to fully explore this next to the last passage we're going to read. I just want to plant a little seed in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul writing, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You can plant seed. You can set up your sprinkler system. get it wet, but God is the one who brings the increase. Okay? But stay with me. Notice Apollos watered. Paul planted seed. Apollos came along after that, and he watered that seed. God gave increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, that's not the important part, nor he who waters. But the important thing is that God who gives increase. I don't know about your God. My God, the God of heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, one of the reasons that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, rained on, get wet inside and out, is so that we can then go and water other people. Bring refreshing and restoration to their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the important one in that equation other than my obedience to do what the Lord says. Because it's God who gives the increase, brings blessing to other people. But we can water the seed that's in other people through the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I want to extend another invitation for you to come tonight at 6 o'clock. We meet here. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we kind of gave an overview of the gifts of the Spirit. But let me tell you what we're going to do in the coming weeks on this. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, those three chapters, they talk about the gifts of the Spirit, yes. But what is primarily focused on is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. What's called the vocal or the inspirational gifts. Those are the things that Paul mostly says, you know, I'm glad that you speak in tongues, but I'd rather that you prophesy. Tonight, I want to talk about how God wants to use you to prophesy. Not predicting future, simple prophecy. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, so the simple gift of prophecy is for edification, building up, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Let me just ask a question here, and I want you to be bold, raise your hand. How many of you have gone to men's encounter or women's encounter, and you got a letter from Nate or from somebody else in your family as a part of that, and it just really did something in you? Could you hold up your hand? Okay, yeah. Now listen to me. That is an aspect of prophecy. You're speaking to build people up, to encourage them, to bring comfort to them, to help them to move forward in their faith. You can do this. But again, we have tunnel vision when it comes to prophecy. Oh, I prophesy. I must be a prophet. No, you're not. Paul says you can all prophesy. But that doesn't make you a prophet. Prophets do prophesy, but the simple gift of prophecy, all believers can participate in. And you know what? You need to be prophesied too. You need to be built up. You need to be encouraged. You need to be comforted. And you know what? You need to sow seed and minister that in other people's lives. So that's what we're going to talk about. You need to learn how to plug into this. So hopefully I'll do a better job this Sunday night than I... It's just too much. I got to just slow down and back off one little bite at a time, right? Is that how you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time? Well, I don't know if I can get this whole trunk down. So we're going to do that tonight. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want you to look with me at this last verse, Hosea chapter 12. Again, the understood you, right? You sow for yourselves righteousness. Doing the right things. Not the right things according to culture. Because boy, isn't that a whirlwind of dizziness and confusion. But according to the word. Sowing the word. The seed is the word. Sow for yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. You remember what mercy is? It's not getting what you deserve. Oh, I'm so glad for God's mercy. because I know what I deserve. And I'm glad that Jesus took it upon himself and I get mercy. He says, you break up your hardened ground. How many of you know when ground gets hard, it's hard for seed to get down in there. That's why you plow the fields up before you put the seed in, right? Oh, come on. We at least got two farmers in here that can say amen, you know? You got to plow the field up so the seed will get down in there. And if the ground is hard, what does rain do? Well, it packs it down and it runs off, right? Goes off into the creek somewhere. You break up your stony, hardened ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Let me just tell you, some of you may need to start. Lord, I'm not as hungry and thirsty as I know I should be. Would you help me by creating that hunger for right things? Some of you are you're like the prodigal son who spent and blew everything that he had. And it says that he joined. Not forceful in the Greek, actually says he forced himself upon the citizen of another country. And you got this Jewish boy feeding pigs and thinking, I'm so hungry, I want to wrestle the pig to take his food and eat it. Now, that's pretty low. And then it says he came to himself. My father's servants have food and enough to spare. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to him. Come to your heavenly father. He's not going to accept you back as a servant, but as a son, as a daughter. Restore you with a robe. You have privilege. He's going to give you a ring. You have authority. He's going to put shoes on your feet. You can walk where he walks. Yeah, that's the story there. But some of you, you have filled yourself with the husk of the world, that you have no hunger for the righteous things of God. Lord, I need to go on a cleanse. I need to get this stuff out of me, and I need righteous hunger and thirst. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns righteousness, taking the wrong things in your life and making them right, where things fit together and work instead of always crumbling and falling apart. Let's all stand.